517th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. That is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, or college basketball, and more, such as MMA. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. Start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, it's Generinos. Welcome to episode 517 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to our exiled friend, Ryan H., still stuck in purgatory. Hopefully he can get back in the Discord soon enough. Thanks for coming to the show. Hopefully you're in the Discord as well, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. I'll be in there listed as Jeff Chalks Fox, and I'll be your host on this journey through LFA 178. Obviously, I'm not going to do it alone, though. I only know a little bit. I probably can make decent picks because I'm super smart, but I plan on bringing an expert in here who actually knows a thing or two about a thing or two. Maybe he wants to brag about his picks from this past weekend. I'm not sure how his picks ended up doing or not, because I didn't get to see Octagon. So, oh, he's shaking his head. I think they may have done poorly, but let's bring in the regional MMA god himself, Daniel Gummy Vreeland. He'll tell you how many units he's up. Hi, Gummy.
We went 3-4. Not a great night. Down a couple of units, but still up 11 on the year. So we did come really close to having a much better night. The main event, Walrizniak lost the first round, had like a really nice comeback in the second round. Looked like he was taken over in terms of grappling and all that kind of stuff. And then ultimately fell apart in the third and got himself submitted. So it was looking good until it wasn't. So it goes with MMA. And then, some of the other big stabs I took didn't look too good. So 3-4 overall, not too bad. Exciting night of fights anyway. And looking forward to LFA 178.
It was it a good night of fights, Octagon? I was like,
yeah, they were exciting. They were really exciting. They always are. Like, they're never dull fights.
How did Mr. Finland do? Did he win?
He looked very bad, very bad. Including just looked tired by the end of it. Looked like a guy who not training as hard as he used to. And was fighting a young, strong, tough to beat dude, and it just kind of by the end of it looked like he was trying to lay down, so then he did.
he lost,
yeah, he got TKO'd in the third. And it was again kind of like, did he get knocked out? No, but he kind of did.
Yeah, well, that's not good. That's one of their big names. So who looked the best in the tournament? Did anyone stand out?
Daniel Torres looks like he's not that I'm speculating wildly or anything. He might be back on the juice. It looks pretty good.
That is a wild speculation, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he tested positive and got kicked out of PFL. So now he's in Octagon and looked good again. So do with that what you will. I'm a big fan of Ronnie Paradiser. He's the champ of the division for a reason. The judges' scorecards were kind of weird in that fight, but I thought he looked really exceptional. Also, like the guy who I was maybe one of the most excited to watch, Akone Wanless, wound up getting jumped backstage by the opposing corner, and the fight didn't happen. The corner men have been banned for life from Octagon events. They're no longer allowed to corner or attend or obviously fight for. But they rebooked the fight because apparently the guy who he was fighting had nothing to do with it. Which I don't know. They kind of got into a skirmish during a weigh-in. So then for the corner to jump him afterwards seems like maybe it was planned, but who knows? But anyway, they rebooked it for two events from now, so we're gonna get to see that Wanless versus Siraji fight anyway. So I guess we'll see whether or not my prospect looks good then.
All right. We shall see, but Octagon's always a fun event. No Octagon this coming week, but we have LFA, which is normally a very good fight card and fight event as well. And it's on UFC Fight Pass, makes it easy to watch. And we're going to be talking about LFA 178, Sati Baldiev versus Aziz this Friday, March the 8th, 10 p.m. Eastern. Like I said, UFC Fight Pass is going down in Santa Cruz, California. So hopefully I can get you, for readers of my Substack, moneymma.substack.com, hopefully I can get you fighter payouts for this, because California is pretty much one of the only athletic commissions around that still give you the official pay sheet. So if you're interested in what this level of fighter makes, I hopefully will have that on my Substack in the next week or so. Anyhow, Santa Cruz, California is where it's happening. 10 bouts. We're doing five out of the top six, because one of the bouts is a squash match that we're not going to cover, right?
Yeah, Jean-Paul Lebossiani is one of my favorite grapplers in this division. I actually picked him in his last fight, which was a title fight, and he did not wind up winning. And they're giving him like a 4-3 regional guy. It seems like they're just trying to get his feet back underneath him here. So if you want to count that as an official pick, he's probably negative 1,300, and we picked him, and so then just tack an extra win on our sheet. But I didn't think we necessarily had to take the time to break down how he's going to sub that dude in 15 seconds.
Oh, 15-second submission is what the prediction is now. So there you go. Other than the fights we're going to cover, anyone else to keep an eye on? Any up-and-comers? Anyone interested in what the line will be or no?
Not too much yet, because there's like a lot of real green guys on the early part of this card. None that I've seen so far and been like, ah, damn, you know, circle that one. There are a couple that I've seen before, but like, I don't know. Maybe wind up being interesting, but nothing to write home about on the early parts of the card. To the late parts of the card, this card has got plenty of guys who are just about ready for that next level, though.
All right, the next level always is the UFC after LFA. Pretty much once you get a belt around your waist, you're going to the UFC, or at least Dana White's Contender Series, at the very least. So yeah, we will break down this fight card. Maybe I'll tell you about Underdog Fantasy first, so I don't skip over them, and then we will jump into the winning picks for you. We love Underdog Fantasy. Gumby and I write their articles for our website every day. So we're always on Underdog Fantasy site checking out their plays. If you haven't been there before, it is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. All you got to do is pick between 2 and 5 players, pick whether you're going to get higher or lower on their stats for the upcoming game, and you can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Simple as that. So sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100. As well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code, Gumby and my promo code, MMASGPN, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. If all that isn't good enough, we got more for you. SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you even more of a bonus. Sign up between now and the end of the month, and 5 winners will receive an Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN, and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter the contest for your chance to win. And if you are under 18 and you're watching or listening to our show, let us know. I'm interested if we actually have a minor watching or listening to us. I'm guessing not, unless their parents are making them, in which case they're good parents.
I guess so.
Correct.
Sure.
All right. We are brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes and tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. In the words, where you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Come here now to get some bets put up there on Cut. Maybe how many times the guy will do a Muay Thai stomp, but then not actual follow through with Muay Thai. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at KUTT.com. That's the catch, ladies and gentlemen. It's KUTT.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus today.
Main card is, we're going to cover the whole main card except for the fight. Well, we already covered that fight. Gumby told you 15-second submission for JPL. All right. Let's get over to my region tab. Oh,
how are you regional wise now for the year? Do you know how many units?
Yeah, I said about 11. It was like 11.
Oh, you did? Sorry. Well, I'll let you brag again. About 11 units, and Gummy's units are huge. So that is a lot of money. That's like private island money. All right, we're going to kick things off. Main card at welterweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Diego Bianchini from Brazil versus Bakram John Mashrapov. Bakram John Mashrapov. He is from Uzbekistan. We have a lot of interesting countries on this here fight card, so I'm going to have fun pronouncing things. All right, Mashrapov, 7-3 with 6 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in LFA, 4-1 over his last 5. He did lose his last fight. He's fought at lightweight, 4 years younger than Bianchini. No odds yet for these fights, so Gumby will give you his best guesstimate. The Brazilian bad boy is Bianchini, 8-1, 1 knockout, 5 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his LFA debut. He lost his last fight. That was back in March of 2023. He's not won since October of 2022, so he's not been very active over the past few years, but he is a regional champ. Okay, go ahead.
So I think Bianchini is going to come in here as a slight favorite, probably, you know, both guys coming off of a loss. I think Mashrapov has taken this fight on somewhat short notice. I don't know, have any way to actually justify that claim other than I know Bianchini was supposed to fight Akhtamov at the last LFA, LFA 177 he was supposed to fight at. And Akhtamov fell off that fight card, and voila, Bianchini is booked again like 2 or 3 weeks later. And as a result, I'm like, okay, so did they just find Bianchini whoever would agree to fight him after that? Or was Mashrapov booked and his opponent fell? Like, I don't know. But I seem to think Bianchini was prepared for this and Mashrapov wasn't. And then in addition to that, too, I just think like in the fights, I had already picked Bianchini as a dog in the Akhtamov fight. And I think Akhtamov is a touch better than Mashrapov. If you watch Mashrapov's last fight, which granted is to the newly crowned interim champion of LFA's welterweight division, he's got some wrestling background to him. But the biggest issue with him is that, like, he doesn't scramble particularly well in those things. And Bianchini is particularly strong. He muscles kind of his takedowns when he wants them, because he does occasionally want them. He muscles them, but I think that bodes well for like stuffing Mashrapov or getting back up if Mashrapov does get some takedowns. And on the feet, I just think it's night and day different. Bianchini is electric on the feet. I know I used that word last time we broke him down. He's like fast and spinning stuff, and he cracks. Whereas like Mashrapov is just like one of those guys who you can tell isn't sure of himself. He's literally just using his striking as a means to an end to get to the grappling. Because a lot of what happens is he like bounces on his feet, isn't sure when he needs to close the distance. And then when he does close the distance, it's like he like crashes into the other guy. Real prime for getting countered, real prime for getting hit from something big. So yeah, I like Bianchini here. If I had to guess, like I said, slight favorite, maybe like -125. It wouldn't shock me to see Mashrapov come in here as a favorite, but I think because he looked kind of shoddy in his last fight, regardless of the opponent, I think you're going to see Bianchini as a slight fave.
Fantastic. All right, let's move on, shall we? We're going to move up the fight card as we do, but down a weight class. We're going down to bantamweight, 3 5-minute rounds. Hussein Bakhsh Safari, last name is Safari. He's from Afghanistan, and he's fighting Stav Koran from Israel. Bantamweights, 3 5-minute rounds. The redhead is Koran's nickname, 3-0. This is his LFA debut. He's fed at featherweight, 6 years younger than Safari, 5 inches taller. I'm interested if Gumby knows anything about this guy. We'll see. 3 fights, fighting out of Israel. We'll see if Gumby.
I've watched one of them. So how about that?
Look at this guy. Amazing. All right, Safari, 7-2 with 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. This is his LFA debut as well. 6-1 with a TKO loss in his last fight. That was back in February of 2022. Was he on Safari? Is that why he hasn't fought?
See what he
dad
did
jokes.
There.
Dad jokes for 2024. He's not won since April 2021. Used to fight at featherweight. All right, break her down.
So I think Corin's going to come in here as a favorite. We're probably looking at like -225, 180 return for Safari, if I had to guess. And I'm going to say I kind of like Safari in this fight. You know, he's the guy who clearly needs to wrestle because he's 5'5" at bantamweight. He's a, you know how I said, I swore off a short Kings during Contender Series, but here I am. They just keep pulling me back.
That's not crazy though. But 5'5", 135 pounds, that's not insane.
It is when you're fighting a guy who's 5'10".
Yeah,
that's insane looking. I will just say, in every single fight I've watched him, he's looked like he's in a different weight class than the guy he's fighting. But like the thing I don't like about his shortness in most of his fights is that he leaves his chin up when he tries to close the distance and throw hands. And that's obviously alarming fighting a guy that's 5'10". But the thing about Stav Corin is he is not fast on the feet. He's a very slow striker. He likes to throw low leg kicks, but apart from that, like, he really doesn't let his hands go. Stav Corin actually wants to wrestle in the same way that Safari does. It's like he would like to just get in on your legs and turn this into a wrestling match. I don't think he's as good at that. And I also think it's really hard to get in on the legs of a guy who's 5'5" when he's trying to do the exact same thing to you. So, like, I think Safari is going to be better on the mat. He's definitely better positionally when he gets you down to the mat. If Corin was smart, he would try to use his wrestling the other way defensively to try to keep this on the feet and try to pick him apart. But I don't know that he's going to do that too, because especially if you're a guy who relies on kicks on your feet, you wound up getting taken down as reaction takedowns from getting your kicks caught. And I think Safari can kind of do that as much as he wants. I also think the experience advantage could come into play here for Safari. So yeah, give me Hussein Safari here over Corin. Probably going to be, you know, pretty close to a 2-1 dog.
All right, there you go. A 2-1 dog. All right, I didn't even write that down. So you think it's going to be around +200, do you? All right.
I said +180 originally, but yeah, somewhere in that range.
All right, fantabulous. All right, we're going way up in the weight class. We're going to light heavyweights. Chuck Campbell, we've discussed him before, versus Ozzie Diaz. We've discussed him as well. We've discussed both these gentlemen before. Diaz is 7-2, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. He owes his rounds. This is the epitome of owing us rounds. He's 2-0 in LFA. Used to be the middleweight champion in this here promotion. Now he's up at light heavyweight. 5-1 over his last 6. He did get TKO'd in his last fight. That was on the Contender Series? Or no, I think Contender Series was earlier on than this.
No, it was Contender Series.
His last fight was okay. Contender Series. Yeah, which was way back in July of 2022.
Yeah, he got knocked out. Do you remember who?
Was it Andre Muniz? Someone got lost to Andre Muniz. No. Muniz was...
Somebody later has lost to Andre Muniz. No, Joe Pyfer. He was the Joe guy Pyfer, who got knocked out by Muniz.
Yes, Pyfer. Yep. Maybe he was on a Safari as well for the past couple of years. Who's to say? He's not won since March of 2022. 0-1 in Contender Series, as we just said. 2-0 in Bellator. So Contender Series is better than Bellator. Regional champion as well. Campbell, 6-3 with 3 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. This is his LFA debut. 1-2 over his last 3. He did win his last fight, however, via TKO. 2-1 in Bellator. 0-1 in PFL. All right, break her down.
Did you see who he beat in his last fight? It's a good one. Chuck Campbell.
Yeah, I did.
It's a former big fat heavyweight from the UFC.
Yeah, it's one of her friends. Heavyweight. It's one of her friends, Vandera.
Jared Vandera.
No, it wasn't Vandera. It was Vandera. Okay.
Yeah, it's Jared Vandera.
One of our friends. Yes.
First of all, Chuck Campbell's 41 years old. I know it doesn't list that on Tapology, but the guy's 41 years old at this point and has only fought 11 times. This is not a guy with, like, you know, like, you can imagine the trajectory is in going in a good direction for him. He also is like a low hands. Like, it almost seems like he must have a Taekwondo background, but I don't really trust his striking all that much, which is a weird thing. He gets pinned against the cage really easily. Now, granted, one of those fights was Modestus Bukauskas, so I think you probably can't put too much weight into that, but like, he tires, he gets put against the cage. Ozzie Diaz actually hung with Joe Pyfer pretty well in that fight. Like, Joe Pyfer took him down. He got back up. He got the better of some of the exchanges. He made Joe Pyfer walk backwards, which is something we haven't really seen from Joe Pyfer in the UFC. And yeah, he got caught by a big Joe Pyfer bomb, but, like, you know, not really a lot of shame in that. Since then, he's taken a big chunk of time off. I think he was asking himself, like, is this the future? Which is, you know, you can say what you want about that, but at least he gave his brain time to recover. He seems to have bulked up because he was kind of like a, you know, sort of like a, I'm going to say a loose, chunky middleweight. And it looks like he's put on some muscle to go up to light heavyweight. So I appreciate that for Diaz. I think he's going to be faster. I think he's going to have the better hands. I obviously... Before I went and emptied the bank on Ozzie Diaz, I'd check the line because, like, I think it's probably going to be at -230 or -240 or something like that. And as much as I think he's better than Chuck Campbell, like I don't know that I would be rushing to go put money on him having had all of this time off and his last fight being, you know, a fight that rattled his brain and like not knowing how he's going to recover from that, going up a weight class. Like there's so many questions about like what's next for Ozzy Diaz that even though I think he's the far better fighter in this fight and I'm going to pick him here, like the number would have to be right in that case.
All right. Did you not have him on your Top Turtle podcast before too?
I did. Yeah, I had Ozzy.
And then, his brain got rattled shortly after that.
Yeah, he ran into Joe Piper. But if you remember correctly, when we talked about it on Contender, when we did our Contender Series breakdown for the show, I did pick Joe Piper, even though I interviewed Ozzy Diaz. So,
oh yes, there you go.
Yeah, usually when I interview somebody and I pick against them, it's usually not all that great of a sign. Because I lean to the people I like too. So
yes, yep, it is true. But hey, it worked last week for Amen's the Hobby. Proved us wrong, right? I proved us wrong. All right. Before we get to the co-main event, let me tell you about our friends at Hall of Fame Bets. You want to win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea in the Hall of Fame Bets revolutionary parlay optimizer tool. Get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. So to all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent and data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Okie dokie, co-main event. Miguel Jacob from Brazil versus Jeff Creighton from the United States of America. This is a 3 5-minute round welterweight fight. Creighton, Jazzy Jeff Creighton, 9-2-1. Jazzy Jeff. He's a DJ, 9-2-1 with one knockout, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once. This is his LFA debut. He's won 4 straight fights and he's gone 5-0-1 over his last 6. He's not lost since August of 2021. Regional champion, 1-0 in Bellator, 2 inches of reach over Jacob. Jacob, 8-2 with 3 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. He owes us some finishes, this man. 1-2 in LFA. However, he's won 3 straight fights and 4 of 5. He's not lost since February of 2022. He used to fight at lightweight and he went 1-0 in Bellator. All right, go ahead.
So I'm going to say big favorite spot here for Creighton, probably negative 275. Anything lower than that's probably good parlay fuel. I'm going to pick Creighton here too, even though I don't love him on the feet. Like he's like one of those guys who does, you know, the Muay Thai stomp when your front foot keeps coming up, mm-hmm. like you're a Muay Thai fighter. He does that without any of the Muay Thai skills that you would expect somebody like that to have. Like,
I can do that.
He doesn't kick particularly well, and I don't really like love him in the clinch, but like that foot comes up like a Muay Thai fighter inexplicably just about every time he fights. And I don't know what to say about that. So while I don't like him on the feet, the thing about Jacob is Jacob has just been backed up in most of the fights I've seen him fight. He fought one of my favorite regional names to talk about, Ryan Leininger, in his last fight. And Leininger just like repeatedly backed him up against the cage with jabs over and over and over and over again. And he responds the same way every time by like becoming this like wild berserker who like rushes forward with like 8 hooks in a row. And like he didn't really tag Leininger with any, but like he did well enough to ultimately win that fight. And for me, you know, Creighton isn't going to do what Leininger did, which is back him up with a jab. He seems more limited than that on the feet. But if Jacob does keep going back to the cage, Creighton has got really good takedowns. He's a really strong wrestler, which is why I think he's going to be a big favorite here. He's coming, I believe he's the Uriah Faber A1 champion at welterweight, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, again, just by backing his opponents up to the cage, shooting a takedown, and even if like he doesn't get him all the way back to the cage to work those takedowns, when Jacob does that like berserker run forward and he throws hook after hook after hook after hook after hook, Creighton is just going to reactionary duck under one of them and hit a mean double. And I don't know that Jacob will get back up any of the times. I don't know that Creighton will finish him or get a rear naked choke or, you know, ground and pound or anything like that, but he's going to get enough of those that the judges' scorecards are going to go his way. Because Jacob just doesn't do anything technically proficient enough to beat a guy like that. So yeah, give me Creighton here. Probably a big favorite though. Probably good parlay, but not much else.
Maybe you can get a prop bet on over under on stomps. number of stomps.
Yeah, the weird like foot. If it happens, somebody just send me a clip of watching him. Just that way I'll be like, look, that's what I'm talking about. No Muay Thai skills.
Did you know he's not a Jeffrey like I am? He's a Jefferson.
Oh.
Jefferson Creighton. There you go. He should be a president with a name like that, right?
Jefferson Creighton's a pretty badass name, yeah.
It is.
Jazzy Jefferson doesn't have a name ring.
No, it doesn't quite work. All right, main event is for the LFA Interim Light Heavyweight Championship. So, of course, I have to ask Gumby, why is this an interim fight?
Bruno Lopez is the current champion. I don't know that he's hurt so much so. It seems like a new LFA move. And maybe they should just do like a US and a Brazilian title at this point. But yeah, it seems like they keep getting these Brazilian champions who like seemingly can't get to the US frequent enough or often enough, or they don't want to fly them in or something like that. Because that was the UFC 277 main event, right? Was Devin Smith versus I'm gonna forget his name, the Russian fella. but it was it was those two fighting for an interim title because the title's down in Brazil. And I don't think it's anything more than just like it was hard to get a visa and hard to get them up here. And like these guys deserve to fight for it. So like one of these two was going to fight Bruno Lopez. And I don't know which one it was, but they couldn't make it happen. And like Bruno Assis, it seemingly could bring it down to Brazil to unify it. But yeah, it seems like one of those things.
So it's the number one contender fight, but it sounds better if you say interim light heavyweight championship. So this is 3 5-minute rounds, 5 5-minute rounds, excuse me, 205 pounds. We have urine versus asses, Gumby. Urine versus ass.
Hey,
right? That's hey. Is it urine?
I think it's Uran. Yeah,
Uran. That's not quite as fun. Bruno Assis, it is as well. So it's not urine, it's not ass. All right, we're gonna tell you about Assis first. Bruno is the nickname, he's from Brazil. That means big Bruno.
Bio.
Yes. Oh, I forgot to tell you about Salty Baldiab is from Kyrgyzstan, a flag I don't have get to see very often. So anyhow, Assis Bruno. Big Bruno is 13-6, 1 knockout, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, 2-1 in LFA. He's won 4 of his last 5, including his last fight via submission. He's fight at middleweight, was regional champion, 0-1 on contender series. This is the guy who lost to the person I mentioned earlier, Andre Muniz, right?
Yeah, it was Brazilian Contender Series, that one right. Season of Brazilian Contender Series that we had.
All right, Sati Baldiav, he's gorilla. He's 6-1 with 5 knockouts. He's gorilla. There's a good sentence not many people have ever said. 6-1, 5 knockouts, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in LFA, he won his last fight, was regional champion, used fight at middleweight as well, and he's an inch taller than Assis.
So when I saw this posted originally, I was like, Assis should be the favorite, right? He's like the name brand. He was on Contender Series. People have heard of him before. And then in talking to people who work for sports books, it sounds like they're planning on posting Saltabaldiev as a pretty big favorite. And this has happened a couple of times in LFA where I'm like, okay, this guy should clearly be the favorite. And then I'm told something wildly different. This is usually when you ask me what odds I'm going to say. I'm just going to say pick them on both sides because I think one guy should be like, you know, originally I was like -185 for Assis, and I'm hearing like -185 on Saltabaldiev instead. And like, that's kind of shocking to me. So for me in this fight, the big difference is Saltabaldiev on his feet winds up wildly for his strikes. Like he really winds up. And, in his last fight, he fought this Brazilian guy who is, I want to say 5-4 or something like that. Like a really bad regional level Brazilian guy. And he took him down, but within 30 seconds, the Brazilian had his back. And he worked back to his feet and didn't let him stay there. But like this 5-4 regional Brazilian took his back with some, you know, below average jiu-jitsu. And with the fact that Saltabaldiev, A, winds up for all of his strikes, and B, looks like that on the mat, I don't know how you don't pick Bruno Assis here, because his jiu-jitsu is nasty. Whether on his back or on top, he's got really, really, really good jiu-jitsu, and he's fighting a guy who he should be able to just easily stay out of the range of all of his striking. Because, like, Saltabaldiev, like, you can tell 5 seconds before he throws a strike that he's about to throw one. Like his body turns and he winds up. It's like Popeye getting ready for one. He just like, you know, throwing the arm back and winding it up. And like, there's no chance that that seemingly works on Assis. He's going to have to wrestle. And I don't know that he can spend 15 minutes or 25 minutes for that matter on the mat with Bruno Assis. I think he's going to get subbed if he does that. So yeah, I think this should be an easy one for Bruno Assis, which is why I thought he'd be a favorite. If he does post as an underdog, you got to jump on that as quickly as possible because I don't think it's going to stay there. I think the smart bettors, the people who know in this fight, are going to be in on Bruno as well. So, again, jump on it if it posts early with him as the underdog.
What do you think it's going to post at, though, Gumby?
Well, so like I said, I had negative 185 for Bruno. And yeah. what I'm hearing from people within the industry, I'm hearing like they've contemplated negative 200 salt above the edge. And if you look at the Tapology numbers too, because like sometimes the Tapology poll is like a pretty good indicator too.
Right.
Yep. Although I really think that Tapology poll, if you have a V that ends your last name, you're automatically getting a 50 point bump. But like if we're just looking at that, and I'll pull it back up while we're recording here, is right now the poll on that one is Salta Baldi have 90-10. It's not gonna be a 90-10 in terms of the odds when they come out, but like that's sort of an indicator that the books are going, and maybe some of these books use polls like that, but like they think the public's in on Salta Baldiev. And I think, you know, people who vote in those polls, like some of them know these fighters, some of them don't, some of them, you know, are just trying to get their Tapology belt level higher, you know? So like all of those things are true. And you see a guy with a name like you're on Salta Baldiev and you're like, oh yeah, give me that prospect with the Russian sounding name. I really don't think he's going to beat Bruno Assis here.
So plus 900 for Bruno Assis, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 9-1. All right. 9-1 dog here.
Fantastic. All right. I'll recap quickly. Gumby's picks: Assis, Creighton, Safari, Bianchini. All right. We're going to be back on
Wednesday. Ozzy Diaz and Ozzy Diaz.
Oh, Ozzy Diaz. Right. Ozzy Diaz. Let's put his name down. Ozzy Diaz. All right. I'll be back on Wednesday and Thursday for the big UFC pay-per-view that is coming up this coming weekend. In the meantime, we'll be in the Discord, sportsgamingpodcast.com/Discord. Twitter is SGPNMMA, at Gumby Vreeland, at Jeff Fox Writer. I'm also that on Instagram. Top Turtle MMA podcast will be dropping in your ear holes in a few days. You want to preview it for this coming week?
Yeah, I think I have 6 interviews in the can right now, so I'm not.
Whoa.
I'm having a tough time remembering. Yeah, they're not all coming at once. They'll get to you, but I've got a PFL Europe. Actually, the winner of last year's PFL Europe, Yaka Kushoba, who's going to be on the show. He's very entertaining, and then there will be somebody from the next UFC Vegas card, UFC Vegas 88. One of the couple of interviews I got, but I haven't decided which one goes with Kushoba yet.
The big fight night we were John Anik kept reminding us about. Yeah.
Vegas 88. Yeah.
Yes. Ooh. Check out my Substack. You can enter my pick'em contest for this coming weekend's UFC fight card pay-per-view. It's moneymma.substack.com. YouTube, obviously, rate, review, subscribe, whatever the kids say. At the very least, subscribe from all your accounts, even your burner accounts. That would be Money MMA. MMA Gambling. I don't have a YouTube. MMA Gambling Podcast, or Google How to Make Cocaine, or Google Canned Tuna Recipes, or Google Grandma Videos. I think those three are in our wheelhouse. Or Google Rancho Cucamonga, and then maybe you'll find it, because Gumby's wearing that hat again.
That'll do it.
That's enough. SportsGamblingPodcast.com, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Patreon, SportsGamblingPodcast.com/store. All right, Gumby, say goodbye.
All right, I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's Jazzy Jefferson Fox, and we will see you on Wednesday.